Our first scripture reading this evening is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and the foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon to my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with him an oath to him, that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We rise.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We'll continue with our confession of faith from the Athanasian Creed, which you'll find on page 319. I'll read the first verse and invite you to respond with the even verses. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also we are prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man born of the substance of his mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Simply, nothing less than practice for eternal life, for the resurrection. What we have been doing here so far this evening, practice for eternal life, for the life of the world to come, for the kingdom of Christ and the marriage feast of the Lamb, which we confess will have no end. This service will end. It will come to an end with a benediction that reflects the triune name of God, just as it began in the name of that triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And with the Amen, we leave, we go back to our homes, we rest, we rise again, we go to work, we do our various vocations, and we gather again in that cycle of the week, punctuated by the Lord's Day, for another service that will have a beginning and will have an end. But even in this finite worship of this evening and of every Lord's Day, there is something, someone, that is not bound by the finite of our time and our space, our minds or our ideas. The sad thing that God has become, in modern Christian parlance, generic. My wife takes a couple medicines for high blood pressure. I can't pronounce the names. So when I have to go pick one up at the pharmacy, I say, which one is it? And she'll rattle off the long brand name, made intentionally confusing, I believe, just to make old people crazy. And by the time I get into the car to go to the pharmacy, I've forgotten what it was. I have to ask the pharmacist. Now, you might have learned, if you've been around taking medicine for a while, that there are the names that will cost you an arm and a leg. And then, if you ask, and you have to ask, there are the generics. They don't have the big names. Same medicine, same treatment, same effect. But they're generic. They don't have the brand name attached to them. And guess what? They are often a lot cheaper. You say, how could it be a bad thing that God, in Christian speaking and thinking and theology and singing and prayer, is now generic? Generic is good. It's cheaper. It's easier. Don't have to fiddle with all those complicated names that don't mean anything to anyone except the doctor and the pharmacist. And I think that's how Christians have come to think about the Trinity. It's like a label on a pill bottle and a name you can't pronounce, so why bother? They, and sometimes even we in our language, if not in our theology, have opted for an easier, generic God. Why fiddle with all that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, substance, persons? What pronoun do you use? It's confusing enough. When I can just say God, it's non-specific, yes, but it does the trick just like a generic pill. It's easier, and it seems, at least in terms of our effort to understand and believe, it seems cost less, doesn't it? I want you to notice in your bulletin, out here, printed as it is, how many times we have uttered the divine name already this evening, beginning with the invocation in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then, right away in the absolution, where your sins were forgiven by your dear pastor, those forgiveness words delivered by the name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because it's Trinity Sunday in our celebration and observation tonight. We had an intro that focused on the Trinity, but whatever Sunday it is, every time a psalm of the Old Testament is uttered, it concludes with, again, another utterance of the divine name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That Kyrie, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, is a reflection, the triune nature of our God. And then comes the Gloria in Excelsis, which can't even get through a New Testament hymn, word for word, without breaking into the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet again. And we aren't even to the sermon. Why is it that authentic, bona fide Christian worship has been marked from the very beginning of the church's life with this divine name? This, dear Christian friends, is not a generic God. Now, you might walk from this church to another one, well, I don't know what direction I'm facing, across the street. I know it's across the street. I drive by it every day. Where I'm sure they believe the Trinity, if asked. They might not be able to explain it very well, but they believe it. And it might not be that church, it might be another church. Where you'll hear a lot about God, a little about Jesus, occasionally when they're really feeling it, the Holy Spirit. But in the song and the prayer, in the worship and the words and the theology, dear Christian friends, the Trinity, the divine name, the name by which God has revealed himself to us sinners, is slowly but surely disappearing. And I can assure you, in all seriousness, that those who call upon the name of God and they do not know in their hearts, believe that that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Those who worship sadly, either by their own fault or by the fault of their pastors, a merely generic God. What did we just confess? Do you really believe it? They will perish eternally. A generic God, unlike the medicine you might get from the pharmacist, which may have a different name, but be the same medicine and work just as well and treat you just as well. A generic God cannot substitute for the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is most definitely not theological hair splitting or nitpicking. We have confessed and we are bound by Christian truth. We say compelled by Christian truth to believe and confess that the God we worship is not simply some God, a God, God, but is in fact the God whom he has revealed himself to be in Jesus Christ our Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and at the same time, to tragically also believe and confess that apart from this true God, there is no salvation. This isn't theological nitpicking or hair splitting. This is the very essence of the Christian faith. Jesus believed in the Trinity. He speaks constantly in the New Testament about his Father and the Spirit he would send, of himself as the Son. His entire theology is thoroughly and completely Trinitarian. Open your eyes to read the New Testament the next time the gospel is read for you here or in Bible class, and hear how often Jesus' words not just reflect, but proclaim the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by name. And in this gospel reading for tonight, he leaves no mistake. The God who has sent him, the God of whom he is, second person. The God in whose name the church is to forgive sins, deliver salvation, baptize and teach, is none other. Well, let's just quote him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Do not settle for a generic God. Not in your songs or your prayers or in your faith. Let the words of the church and of Scripture and of Christ himself become your words. Let the way that Jesus describes and reveals God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be the way that you believe in God. I'm not saying that you can't use the word God as a term, as a noun, but I'm saying what you believe in that word cannot be generic. It must be, as a matter of eternal life or death, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have a God who reveals himself. God could have remained nameless to us. He could have kept himself and the mystery of his Trinity and his unity a mystery and a secret. And we would have all perished. But we have a God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of whom it is part of his nature to reveal himself in mercy and forgiveness to sinners who do not by nature know him or love him or worship him. Reveal himself so that sinners like you and me, by the very shed blood of Jesus Christ, who came to reveal the Father and to send the Spirit, now might know and love and worship the true God. What Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, as he calls out yet again to his Father, that cry of dereliction after the sacrifice for our sins have been made, and then breathes his last, or as one of the gospel writers tells of, relinquishes, gives up his spirit. There at the cross, in the crucified and dead body of Jesus, the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is finally and completely, and thank God, blessedly, revealed to the world. This is how God wants to be known. He wants to be known as your Father, Jesus as your Savior and your brother, the Holy Spirit as the Spirit given you. We said something there odd in that creed, didn't we? We said, so thus the Trinity in unity and the unity in Trinity is to be, and you would expect in that creed for the next word to be, trusted, believed, worshiped, confessed, but that's not what it says. Although all those things are true. That the Trinity in unity and the unity in Trinity, the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is to be worshiped. It is nothing less than practice for eternal life. To be given, to utter, to confess, and to put your trust in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has bent his will from all eternity upon your salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who purposed from all eternity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-eternal, we are told, without beginning, although begotten and proceeding, to save you through Jesus Christ. And through that Savior, Jesus Christ, to show you himself. Not just so that you might get a picture of what God is like, but that you might actually know God. And more than that, when it talks about worshiping the Trinity in unity and the unity in Trinity, it's talking about not only what happens here tonight, but what will happen for all eternity in the resurrection. What are you going to do in heaven? I don't know. Maybe I'll jet ski. I'll walk my dog. I don't know. All those things we think about heaven in terms and eternal life in terms of things that we'll be doing. I don't know what we'll be doing. But I do know that we will be brought into a life that has no end, an imperishable and eternal life that is the very life of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.